on the line, we have Isaac Silva, our first interview from the program. Isaac is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America in the United States and has been involved quite heavily in the Bernie Sanders primary campaign. So, yeah, we have him on the line today to talk about, you know, bit of the clusterfuck that has basically been the Democratic primaries. So yeah, good morning, Isaac.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. Just making sure. So Isaac, can you give start off by maybe just for the listeners, can you give a bit of a summary, I guess, of the kind of political situation surrounding the Democratic primaries at this point in terms of like the results, etc.
Okay, so I would characterize the situation as far more favorable to Bernie Sanders than pretty much anybody expected earlier this week. Iowa, which is the first state to vote in the primary process, just completed its caucus, which people may be aware of. It's a very bizarre kind of arcane procedure that is probably too difficult to describe in detail in this program. But the main obstacle for Bernie Sanders for most of the past year has been that there was this perception that Joe Biden was the front runner of the race. And Sanders was always, sort of struggling in second place or maybe slip into first and then go back down to second. And the Biden campaign in Iowa just had a terrible result. It utterly collapsed. It was in fourth place, got half as many votes as Sanders. And
sorry, just to clarify, Isaac, this is Joe.
Yes.
Is that right? Joe Biden?
Yeah, Joe Biden, Obama's vice president.
Yeah.
So he's kind of been anointed by the media as the the presumed front runner, and then now that that's actually been put to the test, it just utterly collapsed. So, from that perspective, that like various kind of forecasting websites like 538, I don't know if people are familiar with that. It's this kind of data crunching website that predicts likely winners of elections in the U.S. It flipped from Sanders having, like a 25% chance of getting the nomination to now it says he has a 50% chance of getting the nomination just because of the seeming utter collapse of the Biden campaign. Of course, there is another vote coming up in New Hampshire this Tuesday, a few days from now. Sanders is also forecast he's predicted to win there as well. So there is a lot of energy and momentum and kind of excitement around the campaign, which is slightly confused by the disorganization and disarray of the Iowa results. But I think that will sort of decline in importance as we move forward. And it's not going to be – people are sort of obsessive about it right now, but I don't foresee that being much of a lasting issue. And when the smoke clears, I think it's going to be revealed that Sanders won by all three of the metrics that they count the winner there. So there's some confusion about whether he or Pete Buttigieg won in one of the metrics, but – this is just kind of like a media circus issue, not a real political determinant.
Isaac, some of us here, who are interested in politics are absolutely following this with absolute fascination. One of the things of particular interest to me is in Iowa, the use of an app that was developed by a company that there's not a lot of information about called Shadow. And that, you know, there's obvious. So I believe that Pete Buttigieg has donated to this company, and I believe it might have Hillary Clinton campaign connections, etc. Can you comment on this? Because we've been watching this kind of with open mouths, going, "What is going on here?" Can you give us a little bit of an idea about background and what the implications of that app were?
Yes, I think that the impacts. My view is that the impact of that app in the result has probably been exaggerated. I think that there is definitely corruption, but I would characterize it as corruption that is like endemic and widespread in this society. And Pete Buttigieg and Clinton and app developers know each other because they run in the same circles. It's the ruling class. They, you know, I don't think that it was conspiratorial in the sense that this campaign paid them to develop an app that would crash at a certain amount and then stall the results and so forth. I think that it was most likely bureaucratic disorganization and confusion because of the very bizarre way that the winner is calculated in Iowa, which is unlike any other election in the United States. So the lasting impact of the app question in particular is, I think that that app was also going to be used in the upcoming Nevada election, and unsurprisingly, nobody wants to have anything to do.
I think they've officially said that they're not going to be using it. Is that correct?
Yeah. They won't be using that. So. There is like an ongoing there's an ongoing mess in Iowa, and the latest is that the really exciting turnaround, which happened last night here, I don't know what time that would have been there, is that the Sanders was trailing in one of the metrics, which is the delegate count, and seemingly, you know, it was being reported by the New York Times, for example, as he had, Buttigieg has a 98% chance of winning this. It's absolutely impossible for Sanders to come around. And what in fact had happened is, I think, somewhat due to structural racism and due to incompetence, they were not counting or not including the fact that none of the so-called satellite caucuses had been accounted for. These are special voting sites that were targeted towards immigrants and refugees, workers in different industries, union members, students. And now that those have been reported, Bernie Sanders absolutely swept them. Like, literally, this is actually what I was working on in Iowa, and it was quite dramatic, where you would have situations with 160 or 170 refugees from Myanmar and Bhutan and Sudan voting, and the vote would go 90% for Bernie Sanders. Wow. So that's been kind of a that's been a startling result for people who weren't aware that those had not been counted, but it's incredibly inspiring for us, and it's absolutely at the heart of what Bernie Sanders' campaign strategy is, which is exactly to energize and mobilize working class voters and people of color and immigrants and youth, students, work. So that really paid off.
I think one of the kind of questions about the Bernie Sanders, with his kind of popular, kind of clearly popular support based on the Iowa result, is the Democrats' kind of establishment clear agenda to kind of undermine him in every way, from potentially getting the nomination. And I'd like to see, what's your comment on some of the politics of that?
Yeah. So my understanding of this is, the politics, the political program of Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump obviously could not be more different. I think that there is a similar dynamic within the political parties of these being outsider anti-establishment campaigns, which the establishment has no idea how to react to and has flailed around throwing everything they possibly can. and nothing seems to work. So similarly to 2016, when there were, I think there were like 16 or 17 candidates in the Republican primary, more than there ever had been in history. And these were all, you know, one after another, sort of fluffed up by the media and the establishment as an anti-Trump alternative. And they all just fizzled out. And I think a similar dynamic has happened within the sort of internal party politics this year, where they have, at one point, I think there were like 24 Democratic candidates. And one after another, the various ones have been promoted as, you know, this is the person who's going to stop Bernie Sanders. But that has the downside of that for the establishment means that they have failed to unify support and strategy behind any of them. So Biden was probably the most serious one of those obstacles, and he seems to really be collapsing now. We may see some more promotion of Pete Buttigieg for a while, but you know, it's I think it's really just a case of them not knowing how to respond to a candidate who relies on their support from mass mobilization of millions of, you know, all of Bernie Sanders' funding comes from small donations, all of the volunteer, and you know, the media doesn't support him, but he has such a tremendously outsized social media presence and word of mouth presence that it really, you know, it doesn't matter what the major papers are saying, because if anything, that just clarifies how much he's seen as a threat to the establishment, and in the end helps him. So I think that all of those factors make it really difficult for them to really difficult for me to identify what they'll be able to do to stop him successfully. One looming threat is Michael Bloomberg, who is, I think, in the top 10 richest people in the world. He reportedly has $60 billion to his name. He's a declared candidate. He's not running in the early states. He declared himself as a candidate too late, probably observing exactly what I just described and seeing that there wasn't any anti-Bernie Sanders candidate that was unifying the establishment. So he's going to officially enter the race next month, and he's already spent $500 million in television ads without a single vote being cast. So, and he has thousands of people on staff. So we'll see how that plays out. But I think that could be another. I think that there's still a chance that Biden could rebound, although that seems very unlikely. There's also a small chance that Buttigieg could gain momentum, but that seems very unlikely because he has practically zero support from any non-white voters. And then there's also a chance that Bloomberg could become the anti-Sanders candidate. But that's, again, to have a literal billionaire running against the guy who's saying we the people have to take on the billionaires isn't exactly a great PR move for them. So
no, it's not at all.
We will see.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, this is absolutely capturing the attention of the entire planet. I mean, I know young Americans here in Australia who are getting involved online, sending texts, etc., donating money, you know, even though they're not even in the country at the moment. There's a couple of things that I wanted to chat about to you about. So the first one is you may have heard the recording of Donald Trump basically admitting that he was relieved that Hillary Clinton had been given the nomination for the Democratic candidate because he was concerned about Sanders. And I believe that because he was concerned that Sanders would win. And I believe it was something to do with his stance on trade, etc. But this really just highlights the kind of situation where, you know, we have the President of the United States talking about the fact that he was glad Hillary was nominated. because Sanders has this huge base. And I believe that Trump understands that Sanders can take his base. He's probably the only person, you know, within the candidacy of the Democratic Party who can actually take a large chunk of Trump's base. And I think that is dismissed a lot. I guess my question for you is, in this case, I mean, with regards to what happened in 2016 and the underhanded politics, you know, that underlie that. Do you think that it is at all possible that the Democratic Party may simply just shoot themselves in the foot, figure that, you know what, we're not going to win the presidency this time, but we can't let Sanders win. Let's just put someone up that we know is not going to win, but it's not Sanders at least. Do you think that that's a possibility at all?
Yeah, I think that absolutely is a possibility. Because of how the degree to which things are in motion this week, it's really difficult to look forward and anticipate what may happen at the Democratic nominating convention this summer and afterwards. But I really anticipate it being, you know, a complete shit show. It's just not Bernie Sanders and his political platform and his base and the kind of left politics that he promotes are utterly incompatible with the Democratic Party, and so it would incite practically a civil war within that party were he to get the nomination, which seems more likely than I ever expected prior to the past week. So where that goes, I'm not really sure. I definitely think there's one possibility, you know, he could get the nomination and the party apparatus would try to sabotage his campaign and in effect make it a sort of an independent campaign. I think that there are obviously possibilities of, you know, various types of sabotage prior to him getting the nomination. I think that there may be some type of there could be some type of realignment where parts of the capitalist class that are currently see the Democratic Party as their party would withdraw, at least for the time being. So there's all kinds of possibilities, and it's not a hyperbolic statement to say that this is an unprecedented situation in U.S. politics. So I don't, Trump, on the other hand, also was seen as an anti-establishment politician and so forth, but he very successfully, he did successfully cohere the Republican Party, which is now unified as Trump's party. But he can do that because he's a pro-capitalist candidate. He doesn't fundamentally challenge the profitability of the health insurance industry, which is like a quarter of the U.S. economy. Bernie Sanders' platform this time is essentially calling for massive socializations and nationalizations of huge parts of the economy, major structural changes to the legal system, to strengthening the labor movement. All kinds of things that are just, a total nightmare for the leadership of the Democratic Party.
And devastating to the capitalist class if implemented.
Exactly. To the capitalist class and, which has always seen the Democratic Party as one of the ways that they're going to manage this system. Every 4 years, you can just switch back and forth between option A and B. And this is not option A or B. This is something else entirely. So, it'll be really quite interesting to see how they respond to it.
Yeah. So, Isaac, we're running a bit low on time now. We'll just go conclude this interview. Do you have any kind of like final comments you'd like to make?
keep your eyes peeled. Keep following it. It's exciting, and it will become more exciting. The other thing that I would say is this is all just this is in the world of electoral type politics, you know, with the primary. But the other thing to keep in mind in the U.S. is that there has been there's not a strike wave or anything like that, but there has been a relative increase in the amount of labor action. Other kinds of mass movements have seen some renewed energy in the past year. So that's another possibility and something to look towards, is that there could be other types of extra, you know, non-electoral political activity in the U.S. that would, again, have a dynamic impact on the presidential election.
All right. Thank you very much.
And one final thing I would say is just, you know, no matter what happens, that I didn't get a chance to talk about the failed impeachment of Trump, but I think that Trump is going into this election, due to the incompetence of the Democratic Party leadership, stronger than he has been in his entire term. And him being reelected is a real danger to keep in mind. So that's one final thing to keep in your eyes.
Hi. Thank you very much, Isaac.
Thank you so much for your time. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. That was Isaac Silva talking about the U.S. Kind of presidential elections, or as in the Democratic kind of primaries, which has been the kind of center.
Utterly fascinating.
And I guess one of the more interesting kind of things about the U.S. Democratic primaries is I think they reveal the nature of the capitalist kind of state quite well, in a sense that, you know, one of the fascinating kind of contradictions, I think, is the whole disastrous sort of Iowa results and the kind of process. These are the same people who have been telling us that the electoral processes in Bolivia, in Venezuela, are undemocratic, and they are implementing a coup, and those have implemented coups. The US has implemented coups in those countries as well, or attempted coups.
Due to the supposed undemocratic nature of the electoral process. And here it is happening
in
the country that has been imperialist for so many years. Honestly, this is an absolutely fascinating topic, and I had so many more questions to ask of Isaac. And I honestly think that with the way that this is unfolding and the fact that there's so much more to happen and the fact that we have so many questions, I think we need him back on the show just to give an up-to-date, sort of blow-by-blow account of what's happening as each primary goes ahead and when we see the results unfolding. Because I'm quite cynical. I do not believe that the Democratic Party will in any way allow Sanders to be their candidate. I know that somehow they are going to foil him. And it's just a matter of how much are they willing to look like the bad guys and to actually have this be really obvious. And I mean, at the moment, I think already they're looking at ways of short-circuiting his candidacy. I just honestly am quite cynical. I don't think it's going to happen.
Because ultimately the Democrats are a capitalist party. They're not even close to being a Labor Party, because there's no working class base.
It's similar to here in Australia.
Who has any influence. Yeah. There's not even a trade union bureaucracy that necessarily has any influence over the politics of the Democrats. So I think, it's going to be interesting. And I think one of the main limitations of the Sanders campaign is the fact that he is running under the Democrats, but the fact that he is probably running under the Democrat primary is probably what is giving a much larger audience to these sort of political ideas that are going to be potentially
radicalized. And a much larger audience to the primaries as well. Look, actually, one question I didn't ask of Isaac, and I hope to get him back on the show to ask this, is with the outcome, you know, if Sanders gets this huge, you know, obviously he's got a huge groundswell of people, behind him. If he does not get the Democratic candidacy, if he's not allocated that, you know, and there's a clear, there's a clear showing that he has actually got the numbers, will he run as an independent presidential candidate? Now, I'm assuming that because Bernie is, you know, has said, look, he'll get behind whoever is the candidate, etc., that he won't. But I mean, is that for the best politically in America? I mean, would he be better running independently and showing the Democratic Party that he does have the power? So, yeah, I would love Isaac's analysis on that.
All right.